Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We're going to continue on the idea of command and control versus lead and inspire. You know, God has a lot to say about this in our lives because we're so used to the opposite. We're so used to command and control. We're so used to, you know, just not really understanding how to be led by the Lord, how to help lead others while we're being led by the Lord, and how that's such a better way to live life than trying to manipulate and control all the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And so we're going to continue with that, but I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand up and read the vision with me, and we'll get into our foundational verse as well. We're going to read Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Oh, well, Lord, we want to be people who trust you. Lord, people who give our whole hearts to you. And Lord, I just pray a stillness, God, over the room. I pray a stillness over our hearts. Lord Jesus, that you would just come in your mighty presence. Lord, that you would teach us what you want to teach us today. God, that you would bring conviction where we need conviction and bring encouragement where we need encouragement, and that your very word to us would be life-giving, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see exactly what it is, God, we need to take away from today. And Lord, even if it is just one thing, even if it's just taking one step towards you, that is priceless. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that not one seed that's planted would be plucked up, but it would return a crop 100-fold, Lord, for your glory. So God, would you just be in the midst of your people? We know that you are, but manifest your presence amongst us, God. May you be honored and glorified in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage we just read in Jeremiah 17, when you really study it, has a lot to do with the contrast between fear and trust. And it begs the question, who do you trust? And whom do you fear? Sometimes we think about that first one. The second one, we just try to suppress because we don't like to think about fear, and we like to just try to make that not something that's a part of our everyday life. But the truth is, we all have fear. We're going to talk about command and control and lead and inspire today, but as I was praying about it, I really felt like the direction in which we're supposed to talk about this subject has a lot to do really with the fear of the Lord. We're going to see why that is, and why that's healthy to have the fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about this passage a little bit, starting with the first person. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. You see, we have the temptation every day of our lives to put our trust, to put our confidence, to put our hope and our expectation in man, when in reality, we need to be putting it in God. But it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. It says that when you do this, it says, whose heart departs from the Lord. You see, the more that we trust in man for our confidence and our hope and our expectation, the more that we curse ourselves and the more we depart from the Lord. You see, you can say that you follow Jesus and yet still be departing from the Lord because it's a matter of what's going on in your heart. You know, we read verses like this and we always think of the most possible extreme example that we can, you know, oh, someone who's kicked against God their whole life, who's an atheist, who is like
of Satanist on top of being an atheist somehow. Doesn't make sense, but they exist. And they go out there, and we think of those people as those are the people who depart from the Lord, right? Those are the people who, you know, are trusting in man. When in reality, I think we would benefit from this a lot more if we realize that you and I struggle. You and I, as followers of Jesus, struggle with this very thing that is being talked about. We struggle with putting our trust in man. We struggle with making flesh our strength. We don't want to admit it because it doesn't sound right to say it. But the truth is, if we're being honest, each and every one of us struggle hoping that people will get their act together. Because the truth is, and history will show you, most societies, most places that have ever existed, where there are people, there are problems. And where there are problems, there's drama. And where there's drama, there's uncertainty. And when you try to navigate those messy, murky waters of confusion, you end up departing from the Lord. Because you're trying to hope that mere circumstances will change instead of you changing in the midst of your circumstances by trusting in the Lord. You see, the person who trusts in man and makes the flesh his strength, he shall be like a shrub in the desert, it says, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. You see, the more we trust and try to seek refuge and confidence in man, we will be full of fear. We will be unproductive. I mean, imagine a shrub in the wilderness. Is it producing much? No. In fact, you might think it's even dead, and maybe it is, right? You're not quite sure because of how dry and how parched the climate is. This thing is not producing not even shade to help somebody, let alone fruit to nourish anyone. So it's unproductive, this person, and they are unable to see God's hand at work all around them. It says they shall not see when good comes. Have you ever met someone who was blessed like crazy but couldn't see it? You meet them, and I mean, it's like they've got so much to be thankful for, but they can only see the negative. Why do they only see the negative? Because they're trying to put their strength and their trust in whatever circumstance let them down. And that one thing letting them down caused them to not see all the other blessings that God has bestowed upon them. They forget to see who their provider truly is and who they truly rely upon. And next thing you know, they themselves depart from the Lord. And when you depart from the Lord, well, here's what happens. Jesus said that he's the vine and we're the branches. And apart from him, we can do nothing. Separated from him, we can do nothing. No thing. Not even produce any shade or any fruit by which to bless other people who come in proximity to us, right? And we talked a long time about the fruit of the Spirit. We could have talked longer about it because you could really spend a long, long time divulging that and just really going over what the Word of God says, because it's about the character and nature of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The character of Jesus Christ is what needs to be produced in us. But when we trust in man and make the flesh our strength, we're not going to produce fruit. We're not going to produce the character and nature of Christ in us. And you can't just do that by yourself. You have to have God being the one to nourish you in that process, which is like being connected to the vine, right? As simple as that. The nourishment comes up from the roots, good soil, good sunlight. It's got enough water, nutrition. It's going to, if the root is strong, the fruit is sweet, right? But when we cut ourselves off from Christ by trying to trust in everything else but him, even while having the audacity to say, oh no, I trust in Jesus, because we do still talk like that, even though we sometimes live in the opposite sense. The evidence shows that our lives are withering, the fruit of Jesus is not being produced, and instead of all of those things that are coming through that, we start to demonstrate irritability, anger, depression, anxiety, hatred, all of these things that are the antithesis of who God is. And you can't hide it, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're going to see the evidence of the kind of root that we have in Christ by what's coming out of our mouth and the way that our character is being developed. So you can talk Bible till you're blue in the face. You can really impress people with your theological understanding, but that's not the same thing as being connected to Christ. It can be much more simple than that. It doesn't take a seminary degree to stay connected to Christ, right? We need to trust him. We need to walk with him. We need to take him at his word and believe. And in the process of time, we become more like him by being rooted in him. And you see, that's what happens. I mean, this is the second part, right? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Because be assured, heat is going to come. Trials, tribulations, persecutions, they're already here and they're going to keep coming. It's going to test the connection you have with Jesus. It says that the person who trusts in the Lord and makes the Lord their hope is going to be like this healthy tree that produces fruit. It says that they will not fear when heat comes. If you look into this word for fear in the Hebrew, it talks about how it can also be the word see. They won't even see when heat comes. Now, does that mean they literally are completely unaware of what's going on around them? They're oblivious? No. But have you ever been like bitten by a mosquito before? And you noticed it for a split second, you just kind of like got it off of you and you went about your business. Look, sometimes you and I are going to go through things that are going to shake us and really be quite difficult. But the more we are rooted in Christ and the more we trust and hope in him, heat's going to come. Issues are going to arise. But it's even if it just for a moment takes our attention, we aren't going to really focus upon it. We're not going to make whatever that thing is, that problem, our God. Because guess what? You can idolize your problems. You can actually put your problem on a pedestal and say, oh, I want Jesus to fix this and I want Jesus to do something about it. But you're so focused on the narrative and on the negativity of whatever that problem is, you have now made an idol that you're giving all your time, energy, attention to. I mean, to the point, I mean, even in conversations with people, it's the only thing you talk about, it seems like. It has now become your God. And it's never going to get fixed that way. So what we must do instead is focus upon Christ. Trust in Christ. Walk with Christ. As we do so, we will be like this tree. It's not going to fear when heat comes. And when it sees it, it acknowledges only for a second and really just keeps its focus on the Lord. It says that they will not be anxious in the year of drought. This word for anxious in the Hebrew means to be afraid, to have fear, to have sorrow, to take thought. But it also means to describe the uneasiness of mind that comes as a result of the circumstances of life. Do any of us in here have uneasiness of mind? None of us. Okay, well, good. We can go home. I'll see you guys later. Nick, Naomi, congratulations. And does anyone want to be honest? I don't think we should come to church to lie. That seems a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? How many of you sometimes struggle with uneasiness of mind? You see, every one of us from time to time can struggle with it. The difference is, how are we allowing it to take up residence inside of us? Are we allowing it to take up residence inside of us? I probably say this quote at least once every time I preach, but I just find it so, I don't know, it paints a good picture. But you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair, right? Meaning, you can't stop every thought. Every uneasy thought that's going to come into your mind. But you can stop it from making a home inside of you. We have to do that by trusting in the Lord instead of trusting in man. Instead of trying to make the flesh our strength. And sometimes that isn't just outward circumstance. Sometimes that's you. You're trying to put all your trust and reliance upon you because you have been raised to pull yourself up by your bootstrap to be an independent, rugged individual who can do anything and everything. And you don't need anybody because people are just going to betray you. Some of you have been raised that way. Here's the truth. You're going to have to drop that when it comes to your walk with Christ because we need to be utterly dependent upon him. So this passage, like I said, it's a tension between trust and fear. And all fears are not the same, by the way. Some are good and intended to help keep us safe and respect the situation we're in. I mean, innately, as humans, most of us who are sane, have a fear of heights, right? Naturally, there's a little bit of like an understanding that you're in a dangerous situation if you're teetering on the edge of the abyss, okay? Now, and truth be told, I mean, we should have a little bit of apprehension, right? I mean, we're not exactly the most impervious of creatures, right? It's real easy to hurt yourself. So anytime you're walking near an edge that's, you know, maybe more than 6 feet, you're like, starting to get a little uneasy here, okay? And just multiply that some more, and you can really see people have this natural fear of not wanting to stay so close to that edge. The only reason that they do in any circumstance, like your tightrope walkers and people like that, they have to overcome that fear, right? They have to start to convince their brain, nope, I'm not going to listen to you. Nope, I'm not going to listen to that fear. Now, here's the thing. Some of those fears are planted in us in a good way. They help keep you safe. Because naturally, you don't have a lot of balance. Not everyone comes out of the womb with the balance of a tightrope walker, right? No one does, okay? So some of your fears are okay and help keep you safe. Now, we're not supposed to fear the trials and the tribulations and persecutions around us. The Bible makes it clear that certain fears, even though we're not supposed to fear those, there is one kind of fear in particular that is not only beneficial to us, but necessary for growing in our love and our trust for God. I already told you what it is in the beginning. What kind of fear is that? The fear of the Lord. We need to cultivate the fear of the Lord in our lives, because otherwise, we're going to have all kinds of other fears that are going to rise up in our hearts. Now, we just read Jeremiah 17. We talked about the contrast between the person who doesn't trust in God and is unproductive in terms of the fruit that God wants to produce in them versus the person who trusts in God and produces fruit. Let's read another kind of passage that shows another type of person who is blessed and productive. I want to turn to Psalm 112, verses 1 through 8. We talked before about blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Well, let's see what this one says. Praise the Lord. Can everyone just say real quick, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. I just felt like we needed to do that. All right. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Right there. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. And his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. You see, we start out this passage by saying, look, blessed is the one who fears the Lord. And it goes on to say that this type of person who fears the Lord, it's also said that he trusts in the Lord, right? And we're looking at verse 7, this type of person who fears the Lord will not be afraid of evil tidings. They will be steadfast. They're going to be trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. The reason that we feel so shaky all the time and like everything blows us around like we're a ship on the sea and we're just being blown around by these strong winds every time something unexpected happens is because our hearts are not established upon trusting in God. It says he will not be afraid. The person who fears the Lord trusts him, and vice versa, to the point where those evil tidings, meaning bad news, whatever form it might come in, they're not going to let that take their peace. Have you heard it said that way before? Something taking your peace? Or we can even say something you give your peace to, because in reality, we can hold on to it in Jesus. But how often do we give our peace away when bad news comes? You get that phone call, whatever it might be, something that really, really upsets you. The swear words start flying and you just want to give up on the day, right? Or tragedy strikes. Now, I'm not saying like, oh, you're never going to feel pain in life. Jesus promised you'll never feel pain. No, he just promises that you and him will walk together through it. But it's a matter of being intentional, especially about what we're talking about right here. See, this type of person, it's similar to what we talked about in Jeremiah. They're not going to fear the heat when it comes. And they're not going to fear the drought when it comes or be anxious. They're not going to fear these evil tidings. Why? Because their fear is reserved for one and one only, and that is for God. The truth is, we all have fears, every one of us. And if we do not fear the Lord, we will fear the heat described in Jeremiah and the evil tidings described in the Psalms. Or as Pastor Fred said recently, We're going to fear the unexpected. We're going to have fears about whatever's going to mess up our perfect little plans, our blueprint, our 10-year plan, whatever it might look like. We start to have anxiousness and fear at those things being messed up. You know, I've seen people literally like want to give up on life when their retirement plan gets screwed up. First of all, where is the word retirement plan in the Bible? Am I saying you're not allowed to have one? No, it's okay. Don't let me take your peace. I'm just here to tell you, it's not in here. But when that thing gets messed up, and the economy gets messed up, and we start to think, what am I going to do? Where were you putting your peace in your retirement plan? I don't ever hear anyone stand up here and say, God bless the retirement plan. Thank you, Lord. Oh, retirement plan, you're worthy of all the glory. I've never seen anyone say that. Because we know that when we're in this building, we're supposed to say things like, God, you know, Jesus, thank you. Bless you. You're so amazing. You're my Savior. I'm relying totally upon you. I'm going to give you everything. And we'll say things like that. But if someone walked in here and said, you know, retirement plan, I worship you, you'd be like, what? But what if a lot of us are doing that, and the only thing that's fooling us into thinking we're not is we just pepper things within our language to fool ourselves, like, Jesus is my Lord, and I'm relying on Jesus. Are those bad things to say? No. But if you don't mean them, there's hypocrisy. There's duplicity. There is this, yes, I say I trust in God, but really what I trust in is if the economy is going well. Yes, I say I trust in God, but what I'm really trusting in is that next paycheck. Yes, I say I trust in God, but what I'm really trusting in is man and making flesh my strength. We have to be people who recognize this in ourselves. We're quick to jump on other people when they're not trusting in the Lord, but how about we, you know, pull the log out of our own eye so that we can see better to take the speck out of our neighbor's eye? We need to cultivate our trust in the Lord, and that's not going to happen without fear. Because here's what happens when you get afraid. You want to control things. Have you ever risen up in fear in a situation, and what you want to do is try to manipulate the circumstances, try to wrest control from whatever's causing the chaos so that you can be the one to decide how things are going to go? That's what we do. You see, we have to remember that the fear that we hold in our hearts, it can be dangerous when we give them a home. In our minds, when we meditate on them, when we allow them to take up the totality of our thoughts, our fear for both circumstances or the Lord cannot be held in unison. They affect each other, and they work in this way. The more that I fear circumstances, the less I fear God. The more that I fear circumstances, the less I fear God. The more that I fear God, the less I fear circumstances. When you rise up in your fear of the Lord, say it's this, you're rising up in your fear of the Lord, your fear of circumstances starts to dissipate. But if your fear of man and your fear of circumstances begins to be the thing that you're most afraid of, begins to take your attention and your time and your energy, starts to make you anxious, you don't have the fear of the Lord. It's going away. It's going out the window. It's not like you can have this great and mighty fear of the Lord right next to your great and mighty fear of man. You can't hold the two in unison. What does this have to do with command and control? I touched on that just a little bit ago. When I don't trust God, I try to take things into my own hands by commanding and controlling the circumstances. When I try to take things into my own hands, I do not respect God, to whom control actually belongs. And therefore, I cannot be said to fear him. When I do not fear God, then I fear man. And when in fear, I try to command and control even more. It's like the more that your fear of circumstances and the fear of man rises up in your heart, the more you try to command and control. I've seen parents who are afraid of the direction their kids are going, and they rise up in fear-based decisions and not faith-based decisions. And out of fear, not the fear of the Lord, but the fear of what their child is going through, the fear of, you know, thinking, well, if I don't do something fast, then this and this and this. They start to make unwise decisions out of their fear. They start to think, well, I'll just lock them in their room so the world can never touch them and they can never touch the world. Now, some of you are like, I've never done that before, but by analogy, how many times have we not allowed kids to experience what is probably healthy for them to experience, all because we're afraid of how it might impact them. Listen, and I'm passionate about this when it comes to the subject. I'm going to go on a tangent here about pornography. I've literally been told before in certain places not to preach a word to young teens about porn because they're too young to hear it. These people are ignorant of the statistics that show us that by 8 years old, most of them have seen it. And some of them are already getting addicted to it. Now, you're going to tell me they're not old enough to hear a word on righteousness and purity when it comes to their sexuality, but they are old enough to have a smartphone and look up porn whenever they want to. Is that okay? Here's the thing. I know that my kids are going to see it someday. I already know that. The world is getting more saturated with sexual imagery. And to act like my kids are going to be these perfect little angels who never lay eyes upon anything that would, you know, cause them to feel awkward or weird, and they're going to see it. I just have to walk with them through it. That's faith-based decision-making. It's not, oh, I can't let you do anything or see anything that might possibly... No. There is such a thing as parameters, yes. And that's good and fine. Boundaries, yes. But to the point of locking them in their room so they can't see the world and the world can't see them, you got to be willing to allow the Lord to show you when you're doing that. Those are the decisions that are based upon fear. And not the fear of God, but the fear of the world. I've seen kids, I'm just being real with you. I've seen kids get homeschooled, and I'm not against homeschooling. Actually, as my kids are getting older and I'm seeing the direction the world is going, I sometimes think, oh, maybe I'll, you know, we'll do a homeschooling thing. That's fine if it's based off of faith. But I've seen parents put their kids in homeschool because they were afraid of the world. You know what those kids did as soon as they graduated? They went after the world harder than any kid I ever saw, not raised in church. And I can think of many, many examples. As a youth pastor, I kind of have, you know, the advantage of having relationships with kids where I have seen and met a lot of teens in the past 10 years. And I can tell you that many of the kids who were homeschooled because their parents were afraid of their kids going and seeing the world, that's not faith. Instead, you have to walk with your kids through their problems. We're just hoping a program will fix them. We're just hoping a thing that, you know, like some kind of just curriculum will make them mature and they won't have to experience hardship and you know, they're going to be a great person because they had a private education and Christian education and it's going to work out just fine. They're still going to have problems. They're still going to have all the hardships that you've struggled with. And they're going to need you to be brave and walk with them through it. Is that easier said than done? Sure, it takes time and intentionality. But one is based on fear and the other is based on faith. I have the faith to know that no matter what my kids experience, I know I was a rascal. And I know what God did in my life. And so I'm okay with walking with them through that, giving them grace, and making it a journey and not a program. Making it a journey and not a quick fix where I just put in a coin, pull the slot, and hope the results are what I want them to be. What do you fear? We resist the temptation to try to command and control and manipulate circumstances when we fear the one to whom control truly belongs. And walking through that with God. The questions of what have you feared, what do you fear, and what will you fear? These are things that we need to ask ourselves. These things are in constant flux. We must be intentional to stay in the fear of the Lord. There's no way around having fear. Because if you do not fear God, you will fear man.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.